We'll thank the Lord this morning that He's not only the God of the mountain, but He's the God of the valley. The God of the day is the God of the night. And I'm thankful that we can find Him in every place of our life that He allows us to walk through, that the Lord's already there. The Lord already sees and knows and is a very present help in time of trouble. I've found that to be so, and I am sure that you have as well. Ask for your prayers this morning, the Lord to bless His Word. We surely need His Spirit to be able to open up His Word to us. Written on the board, the words, the question, Lord, when saw we Thee? I'd like to begin in the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 25th chapter. It's in the 25th chapter of Matthew that we find a couple different, very sobering stories that Jesus related. It said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins, as he began. Likened unto 10 virgins who went out and they were given a lamp, every one of them, and told the story about the process of time and the toll that time took upon these virgins. Those who started out, every one of them, with, if I could say, virgin status, with the desire to be one of the number. They believed in the bridegroom. They knew that the bridegroom was coming back. They believed in it. But over the process of time, something happened. And the warning to them was, you also watch, because you don't know the day that the Lord's going to return. You're like unto these virgins that they all slumbered and slept, and over the process of their lives and beyond that, the generations that roll throughout time, there can be this lulling to sleep and this carelessness that begins to happen. And so the Lord warned him, gave him another example. He said, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a country, a far country, and he gave unto his servants, delivered unto them his goods, and he apportioned to each one severally according to their ability. And the Lord came back after a space of time, unannounced, and he began to reckon with his servants. He began to reckon with them according to the measure that he had given unto them. And he imparted to them the lesson that the master's coming back. The Lord's going to return one day, and you're going to have to give an account for yourself. You're going to have to give an account with how the Lord has dealt with you, with the measure of understanding that you have, the times that the Lord came and revealed Himself unto you, and the things that the Lord placed into your life of Himself. You're going to have to give an account of those things. It's a sobering chapter and an important reminder to us in our day and in our time. We're living in perilous times. We're living in a time when the enemy would like to lull us into a place of complacency and spiritual sleepiness. Lord, help us to watch, to pray, and to be ready. I'd like to begin reading in the 31st verse. Matthew 25 and 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. What a day that'll be. What a day, what an occurrence like none other that's happened on this day. As the Lord in the preceding verses of the chapter, He told of the warnings of preparing for this time. He turns now and pivots to a time that is most certainly coming, when He Himself, He knew, would return to this earth. Whenever He would come, and it says, in His glory with the holy angels with Him, sitting upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. This is not an American gospel. This is not something that's just unto our culture, unto our time, our civilization, but it is unto all mankind, of every kindred and race and nationality and background. And it says, in that day, that every nation, all people, all mankind, there will be no escaping, there will be no the Lord overlooking some or the Lord overlooking certain individuals. It'll be all mankind that the Lord has imparted of Himself to every man and every woman and every child. Imparted something of Himself whenever He took an Adam and he formed Adam of the dust of the ground. And He imparted to Adam His breath and His life. And Adam became a living soul. And all mankind since that time, mankind has had a living soul given by God. And the Scripture says that, speaking of the beasts of the earth, that they go back to the earth. But the spirit of man returns unto God who gave it. Mankind will be summoned before the throne on that day. And He said unto them, He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. You know, I don't believe we can look at this and try to picture in our minds. You know, there's really no basis of comparison. There's really nothing like it in our lives that we can look to and say this event will be like unto this. This will be like unto this thing that you're familiar with or that you can relate to or understand. This will be an event like none other. Whenever we think about the population of the earth and not only those that are living today, but all those, as we read in the book of John, it says, both those that are in the grave, that sleep, and those that are living shall be raised up to stand before God. They'll all be brought before the throne of God. And a separation takes place. You know, I'm pretty sure that that's not going to be a long line that wraps around the earth or in the sky where the Lord has to go one by one and judge every case and I'm going to hear your plea and your petition and you make your case and then we're going to judge this matter and decide it and make a determination. But the Scripture says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in just a moment, the deeds of all mankind that are already laid open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, in a moment we'll be called before Him, called before His throne, and we're not going to stand with our reasons and our explanations. The Scripture says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. It doesn't matter the background, it doesn't matter the beliefs that I've had in this, it matters. But on that day, it's not going to matter that I've convinced myself there is no God. It's not going to matter that I've convinced myself that I'm okay. It's not going to matter that I've convinced myself that good is evil and evil is good. It's not going to matter in that day. I'm going to be summoned before the throne of God. And everything will be laid bare before Him. Before His eyes that sees and knows and understands all things. You remember the story where Jesus told about a man who had the wedding feast. And He invited the guests and He provided for them a wedding garment. Do you know, folks, this event is not something that any one of us will be able to prepare ourselves for. None of us are holy or righteous enough in our own righteousness to be able to stand the judgment shock. To be able to stand before God in the face of God in our own merit and righteousness. But thank God He gives a wedding garment. Thank God He prepares us for that day. He said here, well, we'll read down a little further. This is something that's been prepared from the foundation of the earth. This time is coming, and the Lord making a provision and a plan and a way whereby we may herein is our love perfected, that we may have boldness in this very day. That we may have boldness and confidence, not in an arrogance or in a self-assurance as the Pharisees had, but in a confidence that comes in the love of God being shed abroad in my heart. that casts out and dispels confusion and doubts and fear and shabby living and places where I'm not real sure where I'm at. The Lord has an experience for us that we can go into this day not with trepidation, not with fear, not with dread, but that I can be as those who wait for His appearing, longing for His return. That's the day of my redemption. I don't have to be as those that look over their shoulder everywhere they go and the things that I'm doing and the way that I'm living and the way that I'm talking, having to look around and wonder if the saints are around or look around and see if anybody saw it. Thank God there's a better life that we can live through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory that the Lord gives us that we may be able to have confidence. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. That I can be able to know that all is well with my soul. Wedding garment. There came in a man who didn't accept the wedding garment. Whenever the master looked on him and he said, "Friend, where's your wedding garment?" You know, it doesn't say that the man came and he gave him, "Well, Lord, it didn't fit me. Lord, I didn't like the style of it. Well, Lord, you'll have to understand what I had on was good enough." It said he was speechless. He stood before the master. He had been caught. There was no answer. It had already been provided for you. And so it is with this great plan of salvation. How can you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? I know this morning, I'm sure that every one of us know these things. But may the Lord stir us this morning to be reminded of what this is all about. So great a salvation that the Lord has made available to us. Where He said in one place of His people, "What more could I have done than what I've already done? What more could I provide? How else could I try to impart myself to you? What else can I do for you than what I've already done?" Now it's reckoning time. Now it's time to stand and give an account for the things that I've done for you and what you've done with that. What you've done with that in your life and in my life. He was speechless. And so will, I believe, everyone be on that day who's not ready. Speechless. Because in that day, all the mist of confusion will be cleared away. The refuges of deception will be broken down. Where it talks about it as a refuge of lies will be swept away in that day. There'll be nothing that I can hide behind. There'll be no cloak for my unrighteousness. There'll be nothing to hide behind. I can't be like the Pharisees. It's a whited sepulcher on the outside. And maybe I go through life convincing people and persuading them. Hypocrisy is such a vain and a foolish and a dangerous thing that if we're not careful, we can begin to be affected by. Lord, help us as His people. Lord, search me. Try me. I want to be able to stand in that day with assurance. Revelation chapter 20. I'd like to look at a little more. We'll come back here, Lord willing, to Matthew 25. There are a few glimpses that we're giving beyond the veil. We see through a glass, the Scripture says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. We're not able hardly to understand what it is on the other side. Some began to ask Jesus one time, Lord, what's going to happen in the resurrection whenever one man that gave an example, his wife died, married another, or the woman, I believe, her husband, and she married someone else, and Lord, whose husband? You do err. You don't understand. You don't understand the nature of, you're looking at this that is beyond the veil with your reference point, which is your life.
which is temporal things. We really have no, of ourselves, no way of understanding what it's really like. The Scriptures try to give us some glimpses into what it might be like. But still in terms of language that we might be able to understand, of streets and gold, of gold and those sorts of things, to impart to us the beauty, the magnificence, and on the flip side, the horror of what hell would be. Here we're given such a glimpse. Verse 11 of Revelation 20 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." They were judged every man in this scene before the great white throne. Jesus, who was Savior, who was Redeemer, who was Friend, now sitting on the throne of judgment. And before him, the dead, both small and great, whatever their background and their social standing and all of that, summoned before the throne of God. No hiding, no covering anything up. The books were opened. The book of my life will be opened. The book that I am writing by the deeds that I do in my life, by the decisions that I make, by the things that I say, by the places that I go, the things that I allow into my heart, the books will be open. It'll be laid bare. It'll all be known in that day. And another book was opened, the book from which will be judged, not my opinion, your opinion, or the consensus of men, but the book of the Word of God, from which every one of us will be judged. Our deeds and our actions and our lives will be judged from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says it this way. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be or according to that that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be done." We have an appointment, every one of us as mankind, have an appointment on this day to stand before God to give an account, to give an answer for the decisions that I have made. Not to stand and give an account for someone else, not to stand and vouch for someone or you vouch for me, but our soul is in our hands. We're going to give an account for our soul, for how I've worked out my salvation. In that day, there will be a separation. It'll be all laid open and made known. I remember one time, earlier in my ministry, I was praying and saying, "Lord, give me a greater burden for souls. Lord, help me to have more of a burden for the lost." And I remember one night he gave me a dream. And I remember in the dream, I'm not generally one for my own dreams. I put a lot of stock in many of them, but this was one I knew that the Lord had given me in answer to that prayer. For I remember standing, as it was in the dream, standing before the throne. And I remember, as I said, I don't believe this is literally the way it's going to be. But I remember, as it were, a line that I was standing in. And I remember those that were ahead of me. And I remember seeing them come their time and their decision was made. And I remember some being cast off to one side and some the other. But the thing that was so real, burned in my mind, was this feeling that I had inside me. And I knew I was lost. And the Lord gave me, in answer to that prayer, a sense, just a little taste of what it'll be. A little taste of what filling millions will have on that day. Whenever they stand, I don't believe even having to wait for those words to be ringing in their heart, I'm lost. It's too late. The decisions are already made. I remember just the sense of this crushing weight. There's no escape. There's no getting out of it. Folks, I know these things are solemn thoughts. We don't dwell on them all the time, but you know it's good for us to be reminded. It's good for us from time to time to remember. In a time of a generation that says there's no responsibility. We are our own gods. We determine our own right and wrong. We set our truth. And in the end, it'll all go on as it's always been. Folks, it's good for us to be reminded from time to time that we'll all stand before the judgment of God and give an account for the things that I've done. I'd like to look back now at Matthew 25. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, it's yours. I've prepared you for this day. It's what I told you about when I said, I go to my Father. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. Oh, blessed of my Father. Enter in, it's ready. It's ready for you, it's yours now. What bliss is waiting. What joy will fill our hearts in that day if we're on the right hand. He says, For I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Lord, you said that I've done these things. Lord, when was it? When did we see you in that? Lord, I don't remember seeing you in prison. Lord, I don't remember seeing you hungry. I don't remember seeing you naked. Lord, when was that? And he said, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I want you to contrast that in your mind with those that he said would come before him, Matthew chapter 7, saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in your name? And in your name we've cast out devils. In your name we've done all these things, Lord. And here we are now. And he says, I never knew you. We read also of servants who were given their Lord's bidding. And Jesus asked, if they go and they do their master's bidding, and they come in, they'll say, we've done that which is our duty to do. We're just being faithful to our Master, faithful to our Lord. You know, there's something of our walk with the Lord. It's personal to every one of us. It's about a relationship between me and the Lord. It's about me doing the things that I do, not because somebody's looking. Doing the things that I do, not just because it's what the church expects, because other people are looking on. It's about being faithful in the things that I know the Lord is pleased with me doing. About me being faithful, whether someone's looking or not, that I'm going to do those little things that I know the Lord has called me to do. We can go through life sometimes overlooking the small things, looking for the big things, saying, Oh Lord, if I ever saw you hungry, Lord, there's no question that I'd give you something to eat. If I ever saw you thirsty, of course I'd give you something to drink. But Lord, I haven't seen you in that place. We can overlook where the Lord's working. We can overlook in our lives the things that the Lord is trying to do. And I can come to a place and say, Lord, when saw we thee? Lord, I was looking all the day long. I didn't see you. And to those that were faithful, the Lord says, you saw me all along. You just didn't realize it. That time whenever you were, nobody was looking, and I nudged your heart to help somebody. I nudged your heart to make the right decision. That was to me you did that. It wasn't unto man. This great salvation is not a salvation unto mankind. Thank the Lord for it. We don't do service as unto men, as men pleasers. We don't do the things that we do unto the Lord. Dress the way that we dress. Go to the places or not go to the places that we do or don't as unto men. But it's about a relationship that I have with the Lord. It's about me saying, Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want to see you in my life. I'm going to be faithful in those things that I feel like you're pleased with, Lord. I'm going to be faithful to do those things, whether I feel like it or not. Whether everything inside cries out, just take care of your own stuff. Just take care of the things that you want to do. Lord, I choose to follow in the right path. I choose to do the things that you have given commandment to do. We spoke a little bit in Sunday school about the compassion of God's people and the gentleness. And you know, the world will help its own. The world will help those from whom it expects help. From whom it expects a gift, it'll give a gift. They'll invite over to give something to eat where I think I can get something in return. That's the way the world does it. As men pleasers. Or as the Pharisees did. Oh, everybody's looking around. Let me throw this money in real hard so everybody can hear how much money I just threw in. Jesus said, you've got your reward now. Are you happy with it? They heard the sound ring and they looked and they saw how much, and that's as far as it goes. You're living your life to get your reward now. But live your life instead to get your reward later. To get your reward from the Lord. Lord, I'm going to be faithful and do the things that I know you'd have me to do. Regardless of what anyone else is thinking or doing or looking upon. Likewise unto the ones on the left. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him. I can almost see in shocked expression. Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Lord, surely, Lord, if I would have seen you naked, I would have clothed you. Lord, if I would have seen you hungry, certainly I would have given you something to eat. But I didn't see you in that place. Lord, I didn't know that it was unto you. You know, the Lord wants to reveal himself in a greater way. People go through life many times looking for that which they never see, which is right around them. He said something about, if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me, though he be not far off. He's right at hand. He's a God that's nigh and at hand, that can be found if we seek after him. Romans, the first chapter. Romans chapter 1 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Lord, when saw we thee? Lord, I didn't see you in that place. Lord, I didn't know that's what you wanted me to do in my life. Lord, I thought that was just the saints. Lord, I thought that was just old brother so-and-so. Lord, I thought that was my parents. I didn't know that was you. Lord, I didn't know whenever they were bringing forth the word and I was kicking against it. Lord, I was saying that's just that preacher. Oh, that's just old-fashioned. That's not for us today. Lord, that's not you. That's not how you're working. Lord, that's not what you want from me. There's another way. There's a different way. And they don't see and they don't realize and understand the way the Lord is trying to reveal Himself. I'd like to look in the book of Job. Job, the 33rd chapter. Job 33 and 14 says, "For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Keepeth it back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat." It says the Lord tries to speak unto man. The Lord tries to show himself unto mankind. And it's not just those of us who are church of God or those of us that have been raised in the truth that the Lord tries to reveal himself to. But I am persuaded that the Lord will try to reveal himself unto every soul on the face of the earth at some time, in some manner, in some way, according to the understanding that they can have. The Lord will reveal himself. They may not have a lot of understanding. One scripture says, those that are out of the law, when they're doing the things in the law, not quoting it exactly, they become a law unto themselves. Where the Lord shows them and something of himself. Maybe they can't fit it into theology and they can't articulate what a doctrine is around it. But there's something inside them that says, don't go kill your brother over there. There's something that they have to override. That's the Lord trying to reveal himself unto them and his ways unto them and speak to them and say, don't do that. Don't steal that. Go give that back. In whatever place the Lord has revealed himself to them, they'll give an account for those things. Now they don't understand. This is the Lord trying to impart that. We read through this of several different ways that the Lord tries to reveal himself unto mankind. He said in a dream, in visions of the night, where the Lord comes and personally begins to talk through my thoughts. In my mind, the Lord begins trying to steer my mind and give me understanding and bring thoughts to my mind. You know, we can look at that and push that out and say, oh, that just, meh. Just push it out and excuse it. And it's the Lord. Lord, when saw we thee? I just came by and tried to talk to you. I just came by and tried to check your heart. And you didn't recognize it as me. You shut off the door. I was knocking. And you ignored the sound. Lord, I didn't see. It's because you wouldn't open the door to see me standing on the outside. He said also through pain. You know, sometimes the very things that we would kick against, sometimes the very things that we would rise up and recoil against and fight and try to run from with everything we have is actually the Lord's mercy. Sometimes the things that we pray for those that are lost, Lord, send something their way that'll wake them up. We heard about one brother that the Lord saved, delivered out of drugs and was in a difficult place in his life. He was thrown into prison. It looked like everything was going downhill. But in that place, the Lord began to talk to him and reveal himself unto him. And he got a hold of him. That was the Lord. You can look at that and say, that's not the Lord. That's man that's trying to oppress me. That's just a turn of bad luck that I've had. Listen for the Lord. In the circumstances of life, for every one of us, may the Lord help us that I not spend my life waiting. Lord, come and reveal yourself unto me, and then I'll follow in your ways. Lord, if you come and you stand before me and I see you, and you say, this is my way, then Lord, I'll measure up. And the Lord's trying to say, you remember back in that message? You remember when you were reading my word and I tried to prick your heart? I tried with a still, small voice. I tried to incline you in my ways. Lord, when saw we thee? If we're not of a heart to see the Lord, chances are we'll not see him until that day. And it's not just to the wicked. Even to those that are righteous. They didn't realize the extent to which the Lord was looking on and seeing and rewarding their faithful works. Thinking also of Balaam. Remember Balaam, he was so set in his way. Balaam was so determined. They came and they offered, saying, will you go up and curse Israel? No. Began to plead with him a little bit. Began to offer him some incentive. Well, let me think about it. You know, right there he should have shut the door and said, there's something inside saying no. Stay away. Don't go there. But instead he began, there was something else drawing him. He began to listen to that. And he missed what the Lord was really wanting to say to him. The Lord said, Balaam, go. But it was because Balaam already had his heart set on it. The Lord, if we turn from his voice and we set our hearts in a direction, the Lord will say, go. The Lord will say, if that's the way that you want to go, I'll let you go. But I'm standing here trying to reveal to you, trying to show unto you, and you're missing it all along. He gets on the donkey, begins riding the donkey, and let me just ask you, if a donkey up and started talking to you, would it get your attention? You know, he started carrying on a conversation with a donkey like it was an everyday occurrence. He was missing it. Lord, when saw we thee? He was missing the very thing because his heart and mind was so focused on what he wanted, on the direction that he wanted to go, that he missed the fact that the Lord was trying in his mercy to say, Balaam, Balaam, don't go that way. Balaam, turn around. The donkey started talking. How many times in our life does the donkey have to start talking, so to speak? Where the Lord tries in a still small voice, and I keep going. And the Lord tries and again to get my attention, and I keep going, and I miss what the Lord's trying to say. Sometimes the Lord has to send some harder things in his mercy to turn away man from the pit of his own destruction. Lord, help us not to miss what he's trying to do. The story of Saul, a man that was so determined that he was doing God's will, doing God's service, and I'm doing it with a vehemence. This is what the Lord wants. I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm going to persecute these troublemakers that are defiling our Jewish religion, and I'm going to give everything that I have into this. He was sure, he was certain. Until one day a light shone from heaven. Saul, there's some pricks that you're kicking against. Saul, it's hard. Are you tired of kicking against the pricks? Lord, who are you? Lord, there's something here that I haven't been seeing. There's someone that's been trying to talk to me and I haven't seen it. Lord, who are you? And the Lord in his mercy revealed himself unto Saul and began to show him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Thank the Lord that he sent that light. You know, that light and that revelation may be different for different people. But I believe that the Lord is faithful. I believe that if our heart is open to the Lord will be faithful to try to reveal himself on us. You know, we can be so steeped in our own ideas. We can be so steeped, can I even say, in our own doctrines, in our own upbringings or traditions as mankind. So steeped in it that I don't see what the Lord's trying to reveal to me. That's why Paul said, Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of the Lord Jesus. Don't you blindly follow me because I'm Paul. Don't follow me because it's what you're used to hearing. Go to the Word of God. Search the Word of God. Know whether it be so or not. Lord, what is the Word of the Lord? Lord, reveal it unto me. Folks, any one of us are subject to being led astray. Any one of us of ourselves are subject to deception, to confusion, that I can be led into a place that's not where the Lord's trying to lead me to. It's so important for us to say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Lord, help me to see you and your ways. Believe in that day, we'll be without excuse. I'd like to look at John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, beginning with the 6th verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You know, in the place that they were in, there were many things that they still didn't understand. And Jesus just came to them and said, you've seen the Father. Huh? Lord, I haven't seen the Father. I've been here all this time. I couldn't tell you what the Father looks like. Lord, I don't know. What do you mean I've seen the Father? And there was something in Philip, not that I can fault Philip. He said, Lord, good idea. In my own words, good idea. Show us the Father then. And Lord, it sufficeth. Lord, if you'll show us the Father, that's all we need. That's all I need. If you'll just reveal unto me the Father. Remember I said sometimes we can overlook the things the Lord's trying to do because I'm looking for something greater. The Pharisees and those that had heard of Jesus' ministry many times would come to him and say, show us a sign. We want to see some sign. He performed many signs and miracles, but if you look when they came questioning and saying, show him a sign. You know, he could have said, well, hold on a minute. I'll cause some lightning to fall down and strike this tree next to you. He didn't do it. Because the signs had already been given. Because it was already all around them. You know, I can get into a place myself to say, Lord, Lord, just show me you. Lord, just reveal yourself unto me, and that's all I need. And the Lord's saying, I've already done it. I've already done it. I've already made it available to you. I've talked to you time after time again. And yet my tendency is, Lord, I want something more. Lord, I want something else. I want something greater. And the Lord said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shewest the Father? Philip, I've already done it for you. You've already seen the Father. You've already seen the right way. You've seen it lived out. You've seen it in me. Oh Lord, help us as His people, that He might be seen in us. That a world looking on would be able to see Christ revealed in us. That a world would come as they did unto the disciples and say, sirs, we would see Jesus. That we'd be able to point Him to the Master. I'd like to close in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. The end of all things is at hand. May the solemnity of that thought go with us and serve as the backdrop to everything we do, to every decision that we make, to the way that we live our lives, the carefulness with which we conduct ourselves. Folks, it's not our works. It's not our ability to produce righteousness and stand before God in our own works, but the Lord's going to call us into an account for our works. And by that I mean He's going to ask us, "What have you done with me? What have you done with the things that I've given unto you? What have you done with my word that I've given unto you? What will we do with Jesus? The end of all things is at hand." May the Lord this morning challenge and stir us, that we'd have that revelation of Jesus Christ within our hearts, that we'd be faithful to that, faithful to the things the Lord has shown us, faithful step by step, day by day in our lives to the things that the Lord has given, revealed to us, shown us, the things that maybe in times past the Lord's dealt with me about, and I've said, "Lord, I'll take care of that. I'll get to it." And I never quite do. And yet I say, "Lord, I want to draw close. Lord, show me something. Show me something that I can do to draw closer to you." And the Lord's saying, "Remember, I already did. Lord, when saw we thee?" May the Lord help us that we would behold His face throughout life, in the circumstances of life, in the things that He brings our way, in His word, in that still small voice. May the Lord help us to see Him. You pray for me. Amen.